Well, I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. And turn with me in your Bibles. Go back there all the way to the book of Revelation. And now we're going to get into some things here tonight. Tonight, I'm going to call this message the five most important words of this age. The five most important words of this age. Now, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1. And boy, that's a big statement. The five most important words of this age. Well, I got to give just a little disclaimer here before we continue. What I mean by that, the five most important words for believers. For believers. Obviously, the five most, the most important words for somebody who doesn't know Jesus is for them to confess with their faith, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? Amen. And so what I mean and what I'm talking about is as believers in Jesus Christ, do we have any believers in Jesus Christ here tonight? All right, so these are the five most important words of the age that we live in. And so you receive the text message, and I ask this question, where are we on God's timeline? Where are we in the Lord's history, so to speak? Well, we need to know what age we're living in. We need to know where we are on God's calendar. Well, we're going to take a look at that here tonight. Go to Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to jump right into these five very important words. We're going to start in verse 1. Of course, I'm reading out of the King James Bible. You may have a different translation, but it will be very similar, I'm sure. And Revelation 1:1, and I'm just going to let the suspense out of the bag right off the top. The first five words of verse 1 are the five words that we're talking about here tonight. The five most important words of this age. Of course, Revelation begins with these five words, and it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of times when we think about the book of Revelation, we think about the end times, we think about the apocalypse, we think about prophecy, and that's all fine and good because there's a lot of it in here. But notice the first five words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. All right. And so we're here in verse 1, and we're going to start digging into verse 1 here tonight, and we're going to go throughout chapter 1 in the book of Revelation. But you would think, wow, the revelation of Jesus Christ, this just sounds like an introduction, or this sounds like a salutation or a greeting for the book of Revelation. But really, this phrase here, these five words tell us what all the book of Revelation is ultimately about. All right. Also, we need to ask ourselves personally, you know, what is more important in our lives than the revelation of Jesus? Nothing is more important than the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. All right. So when we think of the word revelation, we usually, you know, like I said, we think of the book of Revelation, or, you know, we have different ideas in our mind what that word is. Well, if you study out that word, if you, you know, look up that word revelation there in the original Greek that the New Testament is written in, it is the Greek word apocalypsis. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, because it's where we get our English word for apocalypse. Boy, and that word really stirs up some emotions in people, right? And so you could read verse 1 this way, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times when people think of the word apocalypse, they start thinking about the destruction of society. They start thinking about nuclear war. They start thinking about zombie attacks, right? Almost the word zombie apocalypse is now part of our vernacular here in the United States. Well, if you're wondering when the zombie apocalypse is going to happen, I'm telling you what, it's happening already right now. There's a lot of zombies walking around. You'll find a lot of them in Washington, D.C. You'll find plenty of them, or, you know, in different places. Now, I'm not saying, no, that wasn't a personal attack against anybody. I wasn't going there. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying in the drug epidemics that we live in, you know, we see people that are on meth and fentanyl and heroin. And I see people in our own communities that are walking around, you know, very much looking like zombies, you know, and I don't say that to be critical, but I'm telling you, the word apocalypse does not mean destruction. Do you know that? The word apocalypse does not mean to destroy. It does not mean nuclear war. The word apocalypse actually has nothing to do with it. And the book of Revelation, the grand topic of the book of Revelation, isn't to just reveal a bunch of, you know, things that are going to happen on the earth someday. Now, of course, it is about revealing things. But notice what the book of Revelation is called. It's called the Revelation or the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. How many of you have something similar to that as the title of the book of Revelation in your Bible? Yep. My Bible actually gets it right on the money. The Revelation of Jesus Christ. How many of you have a Bible that says the Revelation of St. John the Divine? Is there anybody that has a Bible that says that? All right, for years they put that, yeah. That's not wrong. But the traditional Bible will say, you know, the Revelation of St. John the Divine. Of course, John the Apostle was the messenger. He was the one writing these things down. Sometimes your Bible will just say the Revelation of John. Does anyone have that in their Bible or something similar? The Revelation of John? Yeah, we have several people. That's not to criticize your Bibles, right? But those titles were given by people. They were trying to just identify the book of Revelation. Well, the scripture tells us right in the first five words what the entire book of Revelation is ultimately about. It's about the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The word apocalypse does not mean war. It does not mean destruction. It simply means this. It means to reveal. It means to unveil or to uncover the true nature of something. All right? And so people say, what? Wait a minute. The TV told me that the apocalypse was full of destruction. Well, that's more of the media's idea. And you better believe there's a ton of destruction in the book of Revelation. However, that's not its main focus. The focus is to unveil who Christ is. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to tell us who Christ is, what he looks like, what he sounds like, what he expects, what his standard is, all right? It's to show us, you know, who he is. And then notice, you know, what's going on here. It says the apocalypse or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. So it's to unveil Christ so Christ can then tell us what's going to happen. Sometimes we think the apocalypse itself is about the melting down of society or, you know, nuclear war or all these things that we think about. But the word apocalypse or the word revelation, it means to unveil or to uncover Jesus Christ for who he is during this age. Do you know that you are living in a very distinct age of God's history on this earth? You're living in what the Bible would tell us is the age of grace. You're living also in the Bible, you could describe it this way, the age of the church, all right? The church age. Or literally, we could call it this way. We're living on this earth under the age of Jesus Christ, the head of this earth. Of course, Jesus has always existed. Jesus is eternal. But he was revealed to the world to save us from our sins. And now John the Apostle, he is writing well after Christ has already returned to heaven. And now he's going to reveal who Christ is specifically now that he is the resurrected glorified Jesus Christ. Folks, you and I, we speak and pray through his name, through the glorified Jesus Christ. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know him personally. We need to know what he does. We need to know how he has structured things. We need to know how his design works, his purpose for the church, his purpose for the pastor, his purpose for our lives. Amen. All right. And the goal is here to the revelation or the unveiling or the uncovering of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you know this? All right. The unveiling of Christ is not just his coming in the clouds at his second coming. How many of you believe Jesus is coming again? Absolutely. But what we're talking about here, this unveiling of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, especially in verse 1, is not talking about when he comes back to the earth. It's talking about what John is about to see. John the Apostle is about to see Jesus for who he fully is. All right? And the book of Revelation is to tell the church who Christ fully is. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we want to know. Yes, Jesus is one day coming back in the clouds, but before he does that, we better know who he fully is now for this age, for the church age, in our lives, in our relationship with God. Who is Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that very, very specifically. Amen. Because we don't need to just know him when he shows up. How many of you believe we need to know him now? How many of you believe we need to personally know him? Have a very close walk with Jesus right now. We need to know him every single day. We need to know his ways, how he does things, what he expects of us. Amen. See, that's the purpose of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. The revealing of Christ in this chapter, all right, what John is about to see, and first and foremost, the unveiling of Christ is for all of us to know him personally, all right? How much, now I'm asking this as a rhetorical question, how much do you know him? Now, I know a lot of us have accepted him as Lord and Savior, right? And how many of you know that's the first and most important thing you can do on this earth is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But just because we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean we all know him at the same level. How many of you know you can know him more day by day? You can know him through his word. You can know him through prayer. You can know him, of course, definitely primarily through the word, but also through the Holy Spirit. You know, you get to know who he is, know his ways, know how he operates. You can know what he has for your life. Amen. All right. Here is the picture of Revelation 1:1 that we know him personally. We know him personally. So the question is, how much has Jesus been unveiled to you? Meaning, how much do you know him? How much do you know about him? Remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 7? Remember he said, he talked about those that prophesied in his name and did great things in his name. Remember when he said that? He said, but yet I never knew you. He said, there's going to be those that say, Lord, Lord, and prophesy in his name and do great things. He said, but I didn't personally know you. How many of you know the unveiling of Christ is first that he's unveiled in our lives? Who is Jesus to you? At what kind of level of relationship do you have with him? Is he just like the neighbor down the road that you drive by and you just wave as you go by? You know, is it just when you drive by and you say, hey, Larry, how you doing today? Actually, I have a Larry on my road, and I do say hi to Larry. You know what? I don't know anything more about Larry except for where he lives, what his dogs look like, and the fact that he likes nice weather. Sometimes I'll walk by Larry's house and Larry will be out front and, you know, I was like, hey, Larry, how you doing? He'll say, oh, it's a great day, don't you know? You know, he really doesn't have a Minnesota accent. I added that, right? It's like, yeah, it's a great day. Good to see you, Larry. I have lived on the same road with Larry for 15 years. And, you know, I say hi to him. You know, we say. But how many of you know, I don't go to Larry to find answers for my marriage. I don't find answers for my life from Larry. You know, how many of you know Jesus isn't just supposed to be someone you just drive by, wave at, have a short, casual, you know, conversation? Jesus is my counselor. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Actually, we see in the Bible, he's actually more than that to us. You know what he is? He's our first love. He's our highest priority. He's not just somebody I kind of know. He's someone that I've got to, you know, get to know all the time. I want to know more and more. Jesus is my priority, even over my wife and my children. Boy, it's going to get quiet in here in a hurry. Jesus is our priority over anything and everybody. Of course, you know, knowing Jesus personally will make you a better spouse, will it not? You know, knowing Jesus will make you a better husband, a better wife. It'll make you a better, you know, son or a daughter. It'll make you a better worker. It'll make you a better Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so knowing Jesus personally is what this is talking about right off the beginning. Because if you're just sitting there looking for apocalyptic events, but if you don't know Jesus personally, you're going to be deceived. And I'm telling you, Christians in the days that we're living in, they're more interested in juicy news headlines about the end of the world and what's going to happen with the economy, what's going to happen with the politicians, what's going to happen with the wars, and what's China up to, what's Russia up to. Well, I've got a better question for you. What's Jesus up to? You know, what's Jesus up to? I'm going to make somebody mad here tonight. Christians get so hooked on the news, they are more concerned with news on earth than they are the news of heaven. Oh boy, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we'll make sure that we understand what Jesus looks like, sounds like, what he does, his ways, what he wants from us, what he wants us to do. Amen. And like I said, here's why these words are the five most important words of this age. Because of Jesus Christ, the more real he is to you, the more you know him, like I said, you will be a better spouse, you will be a better Christian, you will be a better parent, you will be a better worker. Amen. What inspires us to be a good spouse? Knowing him. And here's something that we need to know and understand. If somebody is struggling to be a good husband, if somebody is struggling to be a good wife, I'll tell you what the root of all that struggle is. It's a lack of fellowship with Jesus. Ultimately, at the root of that is a lack of knowing him. Because if we will know him, he will inspire us to be a better husband. He'll inspire us to be a better wife. He'll inspire us to be honorable to our boss. He'll inspire us. Amen? He'll teach us through his word and through fellowship with him because he's unveiled to us personally. I'm going to make this make sense to you eventually. Praise the Lord. All right. And so here's the picture of Revelation 1:1. I'm going to give you this picture. The picture of Revelation 1:1 kicking off this unveiling of Jesus Christ. The picture is not of Christians looking for apocalyptic events. Our purpose in this life is not to figure out what China's going to do. All right? The purpose of our life is not to look for, you know, nuclear mushroom clouds. The purpose of our life is not to, you know, wonder if we're going to someday have to stand up on our roof with a machine gun, you know, and get ready, you know, for the zombies to attack. We don't have to, you know, sit there and wonder, you know, and start looking for apocalyptic events. Will the dollar crash? Will Russia invade? Will there be a nuclear war in the Middle East? A lot of Christians are sitting at ground level trying to wonder, what's Trump going to do next? Is Joe Biden still alive today? And I'm not saying that critically. That's a sad thing. It's a really sad thing. Listen, you know, it's not a good thing for this country to see our president who is, you know, just disintegrating under dementia. It's a sad thing. We need to be praying for our president, whether you like him or whether you don't like him. You need to be praying for him, regardless of your political opinions, because that's what the word tells the church to do. And it would be a bad thing for America to have a president die in office in modern times. It's happened before. It wasn't good then, and it certainly wouldn't be good now. But people, Christians, are like, what's Trump? What's going to happen with Trump? Is Trump going to get arrested? Is Trump going to jail? Is Joe Biden going to do this? What's going to happen? We're looking at ground level, wondering what's going to happen for these apocalyptic events. All right? But the picture here is us seated with Christ, far above all principality and power and might. Don't look at the world from a ground level. Remember where you are seated. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. You are far above all principality and power and might. Praise the Lord. You know, sit up from the view that God has, and all of a sudden those things will start to be unveiled to you, and God will share those things with you as he learns to trust you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I kind of had an idea. I need a volunteer. We need a volunteer. Was Caspin here today? I saw Caspin. Is he here? Where'd he go? Is he back on the machine? Where'd he go? Praise the Lord. He would be a perfect. Is he here? I know he is. He just went to the restroom. Isn't it great that we're talking about this? He has no idea. And if he does, Cam, do you want to take your brother's place? I need your help. Cam, can you be a volunteer for me? Here we go. Is everybody ready for this? Yeah, everyone give this handsome young man a round of applause. All right. Now, I was going to use Caspin just because he's a little bit younger, and this guy is like almost my height, if not taller. And so, but, you know, I wanted to use, you know, someone with some, you know, youth to them. Not that you're a child, but you understand. Somebody with a little youth for this demonstration. All right, Cam, could you help me? Would you mind grabbing that chair right there and putting it up on the platform? I'm going to grab this one. We'll use this as an illustration here. I know it's always awkward when there's, you know, downtime. Now, Cam, you can stay right up here with me. Let's pull this back. Yeah, let's go right over here, right where you're at. That's good. All right, let's sit right here. Now, me and Cam, we're going to act out a skit for you, you know, here tonight. All right. This is wonderful. Now, all right, so this is perfect. So you're going to be in that chair, and who you're going to be for this skit, you're going to be me.
Oh.
All right. I'm sorry to report that, but you're going to be me, all right? And who I'm going to be, I'm going to be Jesus. Caspin, I'm very sorry. I went and I called on you right at the time. So I took your brother instead, but that's all right. That's all right. This will be great. All right, so Cam is going to play me in this skit, and I get to be Jesus, all right? Now, you would have gotten to be Jesus, but I've got the beard, all right? All right, so go ahead and sit down. Now, I've known Cam. Literally, I was praying for this young man the day he was born. I remember exactly where I was when this young man, now you're 16 now, December 13th is your birthday? Yeah, absolutely. I remember on December 13th of the year he was born, I remember driving up Route 60 in Chautauqua County, getting a phone call because there was some troubles when he was being born. Well, he made it, glory to God, and look at him now, right? Amen. So praise the Lord. So when I have you do some things here, we've known each other a long time, and so it'll be good. So I'm Jesus, you're me, and someday I hope to be as handsome as you are, you know, so that's why I picked you. All right, now of course Cam and I have known each other, but now go come to the edge of your seat and act like you're sitting, you know, imagine that you're me and I'm Jesus, and I'm seated with Christ, and you know, the Lord is you know, telling you things, which would be me. Is this confusing yet? All right. All right. Imagine being seated with Christ. You know, instead of being on ground level thinking and worried about what a politician is going to do, who's going to be in power, what nation is going to invade, imagine being seated with Christ in heavenly places and knowing Christ from a personal level and the Lord sitting with you. And now the Lord would be instructing, you know, me in this regard, saying, do you see that down there? Do you see the man that is in the White House? I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray and lift him up before you. I don't want your political affiliations or your personal opinions. I want you to pray for that man. And then you're going to see over here, there's going to be, a political party that rises up, and there's going to be another man that's going to come into power. You are to pray for him as well. You are not to be caught up and be caught up in your, you know, your own personal feelings. I want you to pray. And then over here, there's going to be a nation that someday is raised up, and that nation is going to war against this other nation. And then there's going to come a time when your own nation will fall. And there's coming a lot of trouble to your own nation because the church has not stood in the place where I have called it to be. They have gotten very weak-minded. They've gotten very diluted in their message. And they've gotten really soft, and they've compromised my word, and they've compromised my spirit. And now troubles are coming to your nation. I want you to pray. I want you to warn those in your churches. I want you to warn them, and I want you to tell them to stay zealous and to not give in to a compromised gospel. Can you imagine what it would be like sitting with Christ, sitting there as he personally instructs you what is happening in the earth, what is going to happen in the earth? Folks, this is the picture of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, where we sit with Christ, where we have a personal, close relationship with him, and then he will show us things, not from a ground level, not because we're trying to, be so interested in juicy news details or apocalyptic events, but because he wants to show us out of a personal relationship with him. As we fellowship with Christ, as we spend time with him, as we spend time with his word, when we worship him, when we say true and faithful to his design, to his local church, amen, we will know and see more and more of these things. Folks, how about we go ahead and give Cam a nice round of applause as he heads back to your seat. Thank you, Cam. I know that was awkward for you. But the point I'm trying to make is to give you a visual of what it would look like seated with Christ, literally sitting there as he showed you things that were happening in the world. What if the Lord, you know, started speaking to you and say, hey, the Democratic Party, they're going to be a blip in, you know, they're just a blip in political history on this earth. You know, the Republican Party, they're going to be a blip in history, you know, concerning, you know, eternal things. You know, don't get so caught up in the ground level thinking. Folks, the reason why I'm saying this is because if we don't have that close personal relationship with Jesus, we are going to get deceived by the things that are going on this earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. When the Bible opens up and says the revelation, the apocalypse of Christ, you know, when people see, you know, they hear that phrase, they start thinking of mushroom clouds and nations going off to war. The revelation of Jesus Christ is for us personally to know him, to fellowship with him, to worship him, to spend time with him. Amen. And then notice what it says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants. Who do you think those servants are? Us. To show his servants those things which must shortly come to pass. Notice the revelation, meaning the personal revelation of Christ, must come first before he starts showing his servants things that are going to happen. Folks, is this making sense? That if we think that the apocalypse of Jesus is just wars and mushroom clouds and famines and earthquakes and all this stuff, those things are going to happen. But I'll tell you what, we have to know Jesus first and foremost. My goal is to know him, to spend time with him, to please him, to make sure that he is absolutely my first love in this life. Are you getting a hold of this? But if you just think the apocalypse is just war and destruction, listen, those things are coming. But the revealing of Christ was given to his servants so you could sit with Christ and he could show you things that will happen. Folks, the things that are coming upon this earth, they should not catch the church by surprise. Folks, I'm here to tell you that there are some tough days ahead for the United States of America. There is. I'm not saying that out of doom and gloom. There's some tough days. But when you are sitting with Jesus Christ in heavenly places, if you're down here on ground level, the stuff that's coming to our nation is going to trouble you. But if you are seated with Christ, far above all principality, power, and might, you will be seeing it as God sees it. And, you know, the Lord will say, you know what, this is going to happen in your country. Don't worry about that. Pray about it. I'm with you. I will defend you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. Amen. When you sit with Christ on his throne and you look down upon what's happening on the earth, you're not going to be so dismayed about whoever is in the White House. Yes, thank God we should vote. Thank God we should get some changes. Thank God we get to, you know, we're involved in all that. But folks, as a Christian, we sit with him. And he sits with us, giving us some forewarning and some things that he's going to do in the earth so we're not taken by such surprise. Are you getting a hold of this?
Yes.
No, I've only gotten through verse 1. Interesting service here tonight. You know, praise the Lord. All right, now let's read the verse over again. We'll read down to verse 3 this time. The revelation, the personal unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show us, his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Everyone say John. This is John the apostle, who's now going to see Christ as he is, as we deal with him every single day. In verse 2, it says, John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. We're on verse 3. Notice there is a blessing for understanding the prophecy of the book of Revelation. There's a blessing. Is there anybody that wants a blessing in their life? It's a blessing to first know who Christ fully is. It's a blessing to know what things will shortly come to pass. It's a blessing to know what he wants for us and expects for us and how the Lord operates in this earth. Are you ready to find out how? Thank you, Vince. Praise God. Vince is ready to find out, right? Are you ready to see this? Now go down to verse 9 and let's start reading what John sees. John is now going to unveil Christ, who he is now that he's glorified, now that he's resurrected, and what he's going to do. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Patmos was a Roman penal colony. John has been thrown there because he stayed faithful to Jesus. He's been imprisoned and incarcerated there. And now, of course, he's receiving this revelation. John the Apostle, he says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So now the first thing that John has revealed is the voice of Christ. All right? And this voice that he hears is like a very loud and crystal clear trumpet blast. And he says, this is what the voice is saying. And he says, I hear this great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those were seven actual churches that existed in what we now know as modern-day Turkey. All right? And those seven churches were going to get all of these letters that Jesus is going to have John write to these seven churches. These seven churches don't just represent literal churches. Of course, they were real. But it also represents what Jesus would write to us, Christians that are still on this earth, all right? Wow. So watch what John sees. John says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Everyone say candlesticks. Oh, yeah, we're excited about that. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and dressed about his chest with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Do you know why Jesus' voice sounds like many waters? The term many waters is a reference to the nations, the cultures, and ethnicities of the earth. Jesus is saying, my voice is heard and found in every culture, every nation on earth, Jesus Christ, amen. And of course, we know the gospel has covered the globe now. We know that that has happened, right? And so his feet are like fine brass, as if burned in a furnace. Now remember, his eyes are like a flame of fire. His head and his hair are white like snow. This is not what Jesus looked like while he walked on the earth. This is the glorified Christ who is sitting at the right hand of God right now, who we pray through every single day of our lives. This is who he is. This is what we have to do with. Amen. He says in verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Everyone say stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, giving us an idea of what Jesus says. Jesus' words have two cutting surfaces, right? They'll either cut your heart or circumcise your heart and bring you into the covenant of God, or they will cut you down. Those are the two cutting surfaces of the words of Jesus Christ. Boy, it sure got quiet in here. People say, I don't want, oh, listen, it's much better. Let the words of Christ circumcise your heart to draw close to him and know him and serve him with all your heart. Don't let his words cut you down. God doesn't want to cut you down. But the gospel, remember, Jesus is called the great cornerstone or the great stumbling block. Either you build your life upon him or his truth will crush you. Boy, that's real pleasant to hear. Well, that's why the Bible says that Jesus' words, his mouth, there's a sword. Jesus said, I'll bring a sword. He said, and I will divide. He said, don't think that I've come to bring peace to this earth. Remember that? Anyway, amen. Praise the Lord. I know it'd be much easier if I gave a little happy little homily. All right. This is why we've got to know him. See, the hallmark Jesus is a deception. Jesus is not coming again as the lamb. He is coming as the lion. He is coming to judge and to make war. Do you know that? You say, well, I don't know that kind of Jesus. You better know this Jesus. This is the biblical Jesus. This is who we deal with. Say, oh man, he sounds so strong and mean. No, he's not strong and mean. Not at all. He loves you. He wants to save, but he's just saying, listen, if you're going to be cut to the heart. You know, be circumcised in heart and come into the family of God. Don't reject Christ and leave yourself in a place where his word would one day cut you down. His words can either save you or they can judge you. Don't allow his words to judge you. Allow them to save you. And now John says, and I see him, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And then he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then he laid his right hand upon me, saying, now remember, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Meaning that John and Jesus were very close on the earth. And now this one that walked with Jesus, that knew Jesus in his earthly ministry, sees the resurrected Christ, and he falls down dead, like a dead man, in front of Christ. And Jesus puts his hand on him and says, fear not. I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He says, I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which you have seen. Write the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's the outline for the book of Revelation, but that's not our message here today. Jesus tells John, write what you just saw. write down for the world so that they will know who I am, know what I do, know what I look like, know what I sound like. See, we didn't get this Jesus when he walked on this earth. This is what he is after his glorification. Amen. And now in verse 20, Jesus then explains some very important facts for us. He says to John, he says, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, he said, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. This is what I need you to get a hold of and to understand. Imagine a picture of seven candlestands that stand about 5 feet tall. Imagine, you know, they're thin, they're gold, and each one holds one candlestick, and there's seven of those placed in a circle around Jesus. And Jesus is standing, dressed with that white robe and that golden sash around his chest. He's standing in the midst of those candles, and every single one of those candles has a burning flame on it. John, when John was in the Spirit, he looks back and he sees Jesus standing in the middle of this circle of seven candlesticks. And when John saw him and saw all of his appearance, he noticed that Jesus had seven stars in his right hand. And in now the scripture, Jesus himself explains, he says, these seven golden candlesticks around me, these are the seven churches. So where is Jesus right here, right now in the days that we live in? He's standing in the midst of the churches. People, I have heard people say this all the time. They'll make an excuse of why they don't go to church. They'll say, well, God is everywhere. I don't need to have a local church. I don't need to have a pastor. I can just come and go. But the Bible tells us exactly where Jesus is. He is not just everywhere. He's in the midst of the churches. And notice the candlesticks. They represent the light of God. God has decided to design a system where he puts his light where? In the local church. Jesus is in our midst here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst with them. You know, yes, he is all present. Yes, God is omnipotent. But God has designed this system to shine his light to the world through where? The churches. Not just this church. Not just our camp or our denomination, whatever you want to call it. Anywhere that will preach Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. Anywhere that is after souls to be saved, Jesus is there. Anywhere that will preach the uncompromised word of God, Jesus is gathered in their midst. He is here tonight. Imagine if we saw him for who he is, just like John did, we would all pass out. We would hit the floor. It would be such an amazing sight. Wow. You say, well, Pastor, you know, what are you talking about? This Jesus is the very one that you are seated with in heavenly places. This is the one that is inviting you into a daily fellowship, both with his word, also in prayer, in worship. You know, notice, you know, the scripture says that those seven candlesticks, Jesus himself put every single one of those in place. And then he lit a fire on top, saying that my church is where I am. My church is where my light is. Amen. If Jesus put the candlestick in its place, we don't ever want to do anything to hurt or harm the local church. Folks, do you understand that every church that Jesus has planted that is truly an uncompromised church of his word, there is a candlelight there. Jesus lit that fire there. Amen. We don't ever want to divide the church. We don't ever want to sow discord amongst the church. We don't gossip amongst the church. We don't put each other down. We don't look at what people are wearing or what they're driving. We don't sit there and talk behind their back and bring them down. We don't sit there and complain about the pastor or go after leadership or complain about this or that. Because if Jesus put that into place, if there's a true light there, then we don't want to do anything ever, ever, ever to uproot that or divide it or to destroy it or to bring it down. Amen? Praise the Lord. Folks, this is where we learn how to sit next to Christ in those heavenly places. Imagine, you know, think again about that, you know, sitting there, like when me and Cam were sitting there. We're sitting there. You know, and actually I could have put, you know, his own dad up there with him. You know, like a father and a son, or like a dad and his daughter. A close relationship where you're asking him questions. He's showing and revealing things to you for your life, things for your own nation to pray for. Amen. Praise the Lord. The you know, the scripture Jesus is trying to say here, I've put this light in your life so you will learn how to sit with me and fellowship with me and care about the things that I care about, so I can show you these things, that you do not have to be worried about what's going to happen, you know, in the political situation in the United States of America. Folks, who knows what's going to happen this November? Who knows? You could throw out 100 different contingencies. We have no idea, but I know what, that no matter who's standing at the end of that time or who's going in office, whether we like it or we don't, guess what? Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that the light and the fire of God can still be shining bright in the churches. And this glorified Jesus didn't change. And if, you know, so many Christians in 2020 had such a ground level look at everything in this world that they prophesied, almost unanimously prophesied, that Trump would be taking the oath of office in January of 2020, and they were all wrong. They were wrong. We said it around here in November, and I go, boy, I got a lot of people ticked. Got a lot of people mad at me. He said Trump's not going to be the one. I wasn't standing against Trump. I wasn't standing for him. I was just here to deliver as the messenger what was going to happen. I told the church, I said, on January 20th, you're going to be watching Joe Biden take the oath of office. And guess what? God expects you to pray for him. And guess what? God still expects you to be praying for him. Say, well, that wasn't my preference or whatever. God doesn't care about your preferences. If you were sitting up there in heavenly places, he'd start to show you, if you were, you know, fellowshipping with him, and not so concerned about your own preference, but just, Lord, you know, what's going to happen here? What do you want me to do? I'm here to be a servant of Christ, not to be a political activist. That's absolutely right. As a pastor, I am a man of God. I'm not a political scientist. Even if the world's most wicked man is in that office, I am still required to pray for him according to the Word of God. Oh, but, you know, this war and that war and Ukraine and Russia and all this, blah, 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 blah. Look up here. Go to that seat and sit there with the first love of your life. Sit there with him and ask him, Lord, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen? If this happens, Lord, if my man, you know, or my preference or my ideas don't happen, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have no idea what's going to happen in November. But I'm here to tell you and to prepare this church, it's not about your preference. You know why all those so-called false prophets on TV, do you know why they all prophesied that? They prophesied it because that was their personal preference. Have we not read the book of Ezekiel when God reprimanded the prophets? He says, I don't trust them. They prophesy out of their own heart. They prophesy their own desires, what they wanted to happen. Listen, there's things that are going to happen in this life that are not our preferences. They don't, those things do not change our Christianity. We are to be found where? Exactly where Jesus is, standing in the midst of the light, in the midst of the local church, seeking God's will. Christians are more active and more on fire now for political things than they are the things of the church. I'm not saying that just, you know, about this church. I'm just saying it in general. All of a sudden, man, people are just on fire. They got to know what every political thing, everything that's happening every day. Have you asked Jesus what's going on today? Have you talked to him? Have you sat in that seat on the edge of it, pointed in towards him like someone who is so interested to hear from their Savior? Amen. Let's look at this again, Revelation 1:20. He says, the seven candlesticks that you saw, they're the seven churches. And Jesus is saying, I'm the one standing in the midst of the churches. That's exactly right. And the reason why he uses a candlestick and a candle to describe the church, because a candle, you don't dim it. You know, you don't adjust the light. It's either burning or it's not. And the church is either on fire for God or it's not. Amen. You know, that candlestick is something that Jesus put in place. It is sacred to him. Amen. Now notice what else he said. He said, the seven stars that you saw in my right hand are the seven angels of the churches. What does that mean? Now we think, now if you go into chapters 2 and 3, you see that every time that Jesus wrote a letter to these churches, he says, now to the angel of the church, write these things. But how do you send a letter to an angelic being? How do you do it? I don't know. That's a good question. Here's the answer to that question. Now, I'm reading out of the King James. You might have a newer translation. I'm not saying that the King James made a mistake. It's not a mistake. But see, we just have to study things out sometimes. The word angel there in Revelation 1:20 is not speaking about an angelic being. The word angel is also translated as the word messenger. You might even have a newer translation that uses the word messenger. All right. So literally, he says, the seven stars are the seven messengers of the churches. And we may not have, you know, time to go into it tonight, but the messengers of the churches were the ones that were appointed to deliver the message to those churches, right? And so here we see the Lord Jesus Christ and how he has set things up. He has planted the churches to be the light, or to be literally the standard bearer of society. How many believe the church is supposed to be the standard bearer of society? Amen. And now he gives each church a messenger. Someone who is anointed and appointed to deliver the message of God in that place. Folks, I'm not here to talk about myself, all right? I happen to be a messenger. But here's the thing. I also am a sheep, just like you. Meaning, I have a pastor over me. Meaning, I have a pastor that teaches me and is a messenger in my life. And so, you know, I'm speaking from that side. And I'll tell you what, isn't it good to have wouldn't we want a pastor, who's also a sheep? You know what I mean? If you're following a lone ranger, that can be very dangerous. I have people over me that hold me accountable and I learn from. Thank God for that, right? And so look at how Jesus has set things up. He gives us a local church. He gives us a candlestick, and he puts us in that place where there should be light burning there, all right? And then in that place, he gives us a messenger, someone who is going to be sold out to the message. A messenger is not somebody who changes the message, doesn't take something away from the message to make it more comfortable, but what that messenger does is delivers that message exactly how the Lord would have us to hear it. It's fully, fully uncompromised, everything that God wanted us to hear and to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, when we start diluting the message, when we start watering it down or making it easy for people to hear, we are going to lose the light of Christ. Absolutely. I know this is a different direction. This message is definitely, unique, in the direction that we're going here tonight. But folks, I'm trying to set us up here for the weeks coming where I'm going to be getting into the book of Revelation and looking specifically at what Christ said when he sent those letters to the churches. It's really important to know these things. We've got to receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so tonight is kind of an introduction, for these messages that are coming up. How much do you know him?
Folks, I'm not saying that as an indictment. You know, no doubt we all know him at different levels all over this room. But what Jesus is not looking for us to do is to just be prophecy experts where we try to figure out where every war, every conflict, every societal meltdown is going to happen. He's looking for us to fellowship personally with him through his word, through prayer, so he can start showing us these things. And folks, I'm just here to tell you, as much as it's uncomfortable for a pastor to say these things, if we don't have a local church, if we don't have a messenger in our lives, and believe me, family church is not exclusive. Thank God for other wonderful churches in this area, right? That have a light of the gospel, that have a message, you know, that is straight from heaven. Amen. And then, of course, we know and understand that maybe there's some out there. I have no idea who, but maybe there's some out there that aren't exactly preaching the gospel. Maybe there's some that are watering things down and diluting the message of God. Folks, we have to know and understand we are never going to walk in that fullness of Christ. We're never going to walk in that place of complete light until we have the local church, till we have that messenger in our lives. Amen. And so before we go any further in the book of Revelation, I know I've taught this before. Folks, I just don't know how to explain it, but I'm supposed to teach it all over again. Maybe not the entire book of Revelation, but at least these first couple of chapters. Folks, we need to know and understand where we are at with Christ right now on this earth. We are at a very specific time. So again, just in closing here, what does it look like on those chairs for you and the Lord? What's it look like? Are you pressed into him? Are you seeking him on a daily basis? Is he the first love of your life? All right. That's what the unveiling, that's the uncovering of Christ in our life personally. He wants us to know him before he starts showing us what's going to happen in the earth. And then before he starts showing us what's going to happen to the earth, Jesus shows John. He's like, show everybody what I'm doing. I'm standing in a circle of candlesticks that represent the churches. Folks, we have to understand this. Listen, I know we have visitors here. Of course, I'd love everybody to, you know, make family church their church. But wherever you're supposed to be in the local church, get there. You know, I hope it's here. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying you've got to know and understand it. And once you know and understand it, you want to support it with everything you got. Don't attack the candlestick. Don't attack the messenger either. You know what I mean? You know, we want to help it grow. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, these are very serious things. They're very heavy topics. For those of you that are visiting, you picked a humdinger of a night to come to church, right? Praise the Lord. You get something out of that? What does that look like? I'll tell you what, I have judged myself at times. Let's all be honest with each other. We've had times in our life where, you know, we find ourselves where we're not fellowshipping with the Lord like we should. All of a sudden, we've allowed our spiritual temperature to go cold. All of a sudden, we grow, you know, lukewarm. And all of a sudden, we're not spending time with God. And all of a sudden, you know, other activities are taking us away from, you know, the light of the gospel. Folks, if Jesus is your first love, there's nothing that comes in front of him. If there's something to do for God or something to do for something else, choose the thing for God. If it comes down to an activity in my life that I just, you know, would want to do recreationally versus something for God, I'm going to do whatever it is for God first. If it ever came down to the situation where I got to pay my electric bill or pay my tithe, I'm going to pay my tithe. You know, if it means, you know, inconveniencing ourselves or whatever we've got to do, amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. The five most important words to believers in this age, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, we know and understand that all we are, all that we say, all that we do is a reflection of what level we know you at. Our actions, our words, the decisions we make, whatever we choose to honor or dishonor, is a result of either knowing you or not knowing you. Father God, I pray for every single soul here present. Lord, not saying that they're not. Lord, I'm not saying that I'm not. But Lord, you put this message in my heart to share the revelation, the unveiling, the uncovering of Christ in our lives. Father, we love you. We want to know you more. Father, we want to break out of sometimes we get in a standstill or we just are coasting in our Christian life. Lord, we're just happy to be challenged here tonight to fellowship. Stepping away from some of the social media, stepping away from some of the TV or whatever we got to do to spend time with you. Father, looking at our lives and realizing if there's something in our life that doesn't honor you, then Lord, then we'll make adjustments. And then Lord, as we walk with you, you'll show us. You'll show us those things. You'll speak to us. And then, of course, the book of Revelation and your scripture will make a lot more sense. Blessed is your name. So Father God, I just pray that we would know and understand how you operate in this earth. You have decided to stand in the midst of the churches. You have decided to share your light there. And then we go out from here and share it with others. Father, you are good and faithful. And I pray for everyone here present here tonight. That, Lord, that they would sit in that place with you. That close, personal relationship. And Father, we just praise you. And Lord, we thank you for your precious blood. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? It's something that I ask at the end of every single service. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never made that decision, I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not here to pull you down front. I'm not going to send somebody over to you as you sit here right now or anything like that. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. Pastor, I want to be saved. I want my sins to be washed away. I want a relationship with God. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to hand you a microphone or come up to you or anything like that. But once I see you lift that hand, I'll just simply say, you can put that down. And then I'll lead this congregation in a prayer. All of us will be praying right along. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your life. But if that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you are uncertain about your eternal salvation? And you'd like to get sure and you'd like to know that you're saved? I know, I truly believe that we have a room filled with Christians here, but I just want to make sure. Father God, I don't see any hands. Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that does not know you, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Lord God, I pray that laborers would be in their path to share the gospel, to water the seeds that were sown into them tonight. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God some glory. I'll tell you what. In the weeks to come here, we're going to dig into Revelations chapter 2 and 3. I'm excited about it. Oh, there's some real things. And we've been talking about having the Lord as our first love. Well, guess what he says to the very first church he writes to? He says, this one thing I have against you, that you've left your first love. That's what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus. We're going to get into it. Let's just give God all the praise and glory. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you. We're just challenged to fellowship with you, to know you. And Lord God, we're not going to be afraid of the things that are happening upon this earth. Lord, we understand that they're going to happen. We understand that we can pray for political things and for political leaders and such. But Lord, we know ultimately you're seated on the throne. And Father, we just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout in. Amen. You are dismissed.